Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Get us on Instagram at 3HL, on Facebook at 3HL, and on Twitter at 3HL1045. You can get this guy on Twitter at Todd Furman. Very interactive with our listeners, which they and we appreciate. Todd, what's up? How are you?
Doing all right. How are things in lovely Music City this fine afternoon?
Well, we were hoping to get like an inch of snow yesterday, and we have this thing called the snow dome here, which doesn't allow snow to fall. So, you know, we're kind of disappointed. How are things there?
I don't understand who roots for snow. I grew up in the Chicagoland suburbs. You never rooted for snow in Chicago. You hope that you can go an entire winter without it, because it's great to look at, and about 7 minutes later when it starts to accumulate, you realize that it's not exactly the ideal scenario to drive in or sit in traffic.
Right. You root for, like, dry days in Chicago because you get snow all the time. We get, like, rain in 34. We'd rather just snow than
or
get
ice.
Yeah.
We want actual snow.
That's fair. I can understand where you guys are coming from that. When it's the novelty behind it, then you root for it. If it becomes the norm, then you get sick and tired.
What do you do? Just go in the desert, throw sand up in the air, and feels like home?
I start to bitch and moan when it gets to be like in the mid-30s out here. Even if it's dry, it's that biting cold. It's a heck of a lot different. And I've quickly realized how soft I've become in 12 years living out on the West Coast compared to going to school in the Midwest in New England.
Let's start with college football. We're going to the Army-Navy game. We do it every year. It is unbelievable experience. I'm curious what you think about Army and Navy this year.
Well, I think you look at Army, and clearly this is a disappointing season by their standards. This was a team whose win total before the year was set at 10, and they're not even going to be playing a postseason football game. Done in by injuries on the defensive side, the offense never really got things going, and Kelvin Hopkins, one of the more disappointing quarterbacks that was expected a lot more of from a veteran there. I look at this game here, and while it's tough to lay double digits in a game and rivalry of this magnitude, I just think Navy is more dynamic. I really believe they'll be able to find a big play or two that Army can't match. And when I look at Navy defensively, I'm not sure Army scores more than 13 points. Has all the makings for me of a 27-13 type game, maybe a little bit lower scoring. But I would lean towards the favorite. Not a game, however, I'm really bullish on.
All right, there you go. Let's jump over to the NFL. And I'm going to bring this one up because of obvious headlines this week. Patriots-Bengals opened at 10.5, now down to 9.5. Why is that? How does it all factor in?
Well, I think there's a big question right now about New England. We can say what we want about Spygate Part 2 and what they were doing there. But as far as X's and O's, there's a legitimate concern that New England right now doesn't have the offense to go out there and beat anyone convincingly, even a team like the Cincinnati Bengals who struggled for consistency or an identity. But the one thing we've seen over the last couple of weeks, the team is still fighting with Andy Dalton as their starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not going to go out there and clamp down on the Patriots. But as you look at this number, you don't need Cincinnati to do a whole heck of a lot to get you to the window and keep that back door open. I'd lean towards the Bengals, but not a game that I've spent a ton of time looking at or a game that I would spend a ton of time wagering on.
Yeah, New England started 8-0, now 2-3 in their last five. And then they've got the Bills next week, which will be interesting.
There's no doubt that if the Bills can win on the road at Heinz Field this week, they can put a lot of pressure on the Patriots. And what we normally assume is a formality, New England winning the AFC East may not quite be such a circumstance in 2019.
Let's go there. Pittsburgh, a 2-point favorite at home against Buffalo. A lot of money on the Bills.
Yeah, and I think you can understand why when you look at the Buffalo's offense and clearly a lot more confidence in Josh Allen, Devin Singletary, Frank Gore, and his receivers than you have in Pittsburgh. But the one thing about the Steelers since week three, they're the number one defense in the league in points per game allowed. They have a chance to make NFL history and rival a feat accomplished only by the 1974 Steelers, leading the league in quarterback hits, sacks, and takeaways. And I think that's the perfect recipe to disrupt what Buffalo wants to do. We've seen Devlin Hodges, workmanlike and efficient, probably the best adjectives used to describe his play. Pittsburgh will run the football, and I think they'll find some success between the tackles. I would lean towards the Steelers here in what should be a low-scoring game, but would be more inclined if you want to bet Pittsburgh to lay a short price on the money line than the 2.5.
Obviously, Titans keeping a close eye on AFC opponents. Colts at Saints Monday night. Of course, the Titans getting the Saints after they have the Texans.
I think Indianapolis right now a bit of a mash unit. You have to wonder what they have left in the tank. Outplayed against Tampa last week, but still had a chance to win that game. Done in by some turnovers, really had no answer for Jameis Winston. I'm not sure things get better on the carpet against New Orleans, but this is a Saints defense that's ailing. They put two key contributors on the IR earlier today in Marcus Davenport and Sheldon Rankins. It was a mash unit last week as the 49ers went up and down the field. From a point spread perspective, I think the Colts actually have a little bit of value more than a touchdown. They'd love to play spoiler here, and I'm just not sure. I think this Saints team is humming on all cylinders the way you need to be to lay that many points in primetime against Indianapolis.
Curious to get your take on the NFC East. Dallas, a one-point underdog at home against the Rams, and Philadelphia, a four-and-a-half-point favorite on the road in Washington. How do you think the NFC East plays itself out with the two leaders at 6-7?
Well, I think Dallas being a little bit discounted this weekend for their game against the Rams. Clearly, current form suggests that Dallas should be a go against 3-7 overall in their last 10. The Rams have won 3 out of 4 with a dominant performance in Sunday Night Football against the Seahawks. But the markets reflected that. You originally had Dallas a 3-point favorite at Fox Bet. Now they're catching 1.5 points. And I think when you see the public support for the Rams, it's what have you done for me lately? All the line value, in my opinion, is on Dallas. The problem being is the Cowboys could lose this game and their season would still hang in the balance the following week in Philadelphia. Meanwhile, with the Eagles, people can say that, hey, maybe they turned a corner with that impressive comeback against the Giants. But a depleted offense only gets thinner when you lose Alshon Jeffrey for the season. Zach Ertz can only do so much from the tight end position. The idea of laying points on the road with Philadelphia is absolutely scary. I think the Eagles could win, but wouldn't be shocked at all given the fight we've seen from the Redskins if they're able to cover.
Jacksonville at Oakland. Oakland opened a 4.5-point favorite, now up to 6.5 as Gardner Minshew goes to the black hole.
Yeah, nostalgic final home game for the Oakland Raiders here. We'll see what kind of show they can put on for their fans. Oakland's a team right now that looks to have hit a wall. Their last three games, they've lost them all by 20 points or more. And last weekend, I know Titans fans were glued to their set watching that. Tennessee found a different gear that Oakland couldn't match. Meanwhile, Jacksonville, a team clearly just playing out the string. They've been extremely disappointed. And if you believe NFL teams quit, Jacksonville would be the poster child of such behavior from some of the energy that they haven't expended trying to play defense. Numbers a little bit rich for Oakland, but I think this game goes over the total. I'm not sure which of these teams get stopped.
That's every year for Jacksonville, though. We're used to it.
They always reach that point.
Yeah, they always get there.
It happened in the Colts game, actually.
Sitting here watching, just all these sports shows, and it's Ryan Tannehill everywhere. That's what everybody across the nation is talking about. Odds that he's a Tennessee Titan next year.
I think pretty high right now. This performance has shown that he's a good fit for what the Titans want to do offensively. This was an offense that I don't think anyone believed could get resurrected, and it was just more of a stopgap. Hey, Ryan Tannehill is going to take over for Marcus Mariota. Maybe at best this team could be 8-8. But Tannehill leading the NFL in passer rating right now is something I didn't think that we'd be able to say. You look at how they performed over their last 7 games, covered 6 out of those 7, and they're getting the performances from Derrick Henry we've grown accustomed to during the month of December. Over 100 yards in each of the last 4 games, 7 touchdowns. I do think that hamstring is a little bit bigger of a concern than people are making it out to be, because if you take Henry out of the offense or at least neutralize his effectiveness, I'm not sure Tannehill can win a game entirely with his arm, even against a defense ailing like the Texans. Meanwhile, on the other side, let's see if Tennessee can slow down Houston's vertical passing attack. If Will Fuller's out there, it's a dimension I don't think the Titans have an answer for. We saw that secondary down 2 key cogs last week. It wasn't good to begin with. It should be a very interesting football game, but I think odds makers have done the right thing making the Titans right around a field goal favorite.
So would you stay away from it? Or
yeah, it's a game that I would stay away from. I will say that there's been professional money coming in on Houston. I wouldn't be stunned if that number came off of 3, ticked down to 2.5, and also seeing over money come in, 48 out to 50.
Yeah.
For me, all the metrics and current form suggest going over. My biggest fear is that there's so much on the line with two familiar foes that there's a tendency to get conservative at some point, and all it takes with a total at 50 is a couple of scoreless drives and you're chasing uphill. So while I respect the money that's coming on the over, I'm not sure I'd have enough to try and pull the trigger there.
Obviously, the Titans have won 4 in a row and 6 out of 7. Where are their Super Bowl odds at this point?
You look at the Titans, still long shots to get down to Miami. I mean, a lot of work to be done in front of them at this current point. And when you look at the AFC landscape, I don't think it'll surprise anybody that the Baltimore Ravens have kind of moved to the forefront. The Tennessee Titans right now, 25-1 at Fox Bet to win the AFC, and 50-1 to win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Those odds probably had another zero attached to them about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So they're saying there's a chance, and that's all you want in the National Football League, be playing the best football when it matters most as the calendar inches ever so close to Christmas.
So do you have power rankings for FCS schools? Can we ask you about Austin Peay in the quarterfinals of the FCS playoffs?
You know, my power numbers are not anywhere close to being something that I would brag about. The biggest concern I would have for Austin Peay in this particular spot is the travel. You have to wonder when the wear and tear starts to take its toll on them. But a pretty impressive story, winning outright last week as a massive underdog. Let's see if the Governors can keep some of that magic going. I don't think it happens here, and I think they're in for a long, long afternoon.
Well
or
handled.
I should say, with a Friday night kickoff.
Yeah, well handled, but let's go pee. Which is the greatest. So I'm sure you don't know this, but they had a player named Fly Williams who's like the greatest basketball player ever at Austin Peay, and they used to say, the fly is open, let's go pee.
I like it. I like the creativity. I mean, you need to try and figure out a few wrinkles, and anything that can get that can become catchy, you take full advantage of. So apparently now they're going to have to go out there and recruit another player named Fly so they can bring that back.
Awesome, Todd. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Todd Furman on 104.5 The Zone. Presented by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
Who would you rather face? Tom Brady.